Hello and welcome to the 7-Minute Mustard Seed Leadership Podcast, where we believe that even small kingdom leadership truths can make a substantial difference in our lives and leadership. For the notes, please go to outlookchurch.co.za/mustardseed for the free downloads.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to this week's episode of the Mustard Seed Leadership Podcast. Thanks for joining us once again. And if you're new to the podcast, welcome. Really, it's great to have you with us. And we're trusting that your leadership will grow like mustard seeds, tiny seeds, become huge, fruitful trees. We're trusting that that'll happen for you as well. So we're in part 8, doing a series at the moment called Leading People into Financial Freedom. And if you've missed any of the past episodes, please go to the website and find the YouTube channel, download them, and we'd love you to catch up. This is a critical subject. How do we take people into greater financial freedom? Of course, we're not going to lead people in as leaders if we haven't walked in ourselves. And so I really do hope that these help. So part 8 is actually the second half of what we started last episode, which is all about good stewardship. And our key scripture, I'm just going to read one or two verses, came from the parable Jesus spoke about the faithful stewards, the faithful servants, and those who are unfaithful. Verse 21 of Matthew 25, his master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." Now that's the goal right there. And that's where financial growth comes from. It doesn't come from your better business strategies. They might help. But actually, it comes from the Lord. It's from the master saying, "You've been faithful. I'm going to entrust you with more. More finance, more responsibility, growth of this or growth of that." Growth comes from the Lord. It's the blessing and favor of the Lord. But he gives it as a reward for good and faithful servants. Compare that to the one. Remember, one was lazy. He took his one talent of gold and he hid it. And in verse 25, the master replied, "You wicked, lazy servant." Now, those are the two words we're actually looking at. That word wicked, last time we looked at righteous versus unrighteous. That whole, what does it mean to be wicked, to be unrighteous? If there's holes in your bucket, you can be working hard and finance can be coming in, but somehow it always seems to drain away. And what we're going to look at today is that faithful versus lazy. Well done, good and faithful servant. And then he said, "You wicked and lazy." Now, faithfulness and laziness, those are the opposites that I want to look at for a couple of moments today. The opposite of lazy is faithfulness. Now, what I found so fascinating is when the lazy servant finds an excuse, he's been unfaithful, he has done nothing with his talent, he doesn't blame himself for laziness. Of course, he always makes excuses. He said, "You're a hard master." And then look what it says in verse 25. He says, "So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you." So he's looking at fear. And it's understandable. We have fears. "I was afraid of you." So actually, it's your fault. And it was fear. But very interestingly, Jesus, the master of the servant, who has this ability to see straight into people's hearts, he didn't see it as fear at all. He said, "Actually, hiding behind your excuse is laziness." Now, that tells us a huge, huge thing. Laziness is not something that we easily discern in ourselves. It's not something we easily recognize in ourselves. What we see in ourselves is very legitimate excuses. "I couldn't do this. I was afraid of this," which is a fair enough excuse. And we have all of these so-called legitimate excuses. But I love the way that the master put his finger on, "Here's why you've been unfaithful. Actually, it's because of laziness." Not something we often like to talk about. So Solomon did talk about. He didn't use the word lazy as much as he used the word sluggard. Don't you love that? It's just a beautiful, beautiful word. We should bring that more into our English language once again. Yeah, he speaks about a sluggard. In Proverbs 24, verses 30, it says, "I went past the field of a sluggard." Sluggard, read lazy person. "Past the vineyard of someone who has no sense. Thorns had come up everywhere. The ground was covered with weeds and the stone walls was in ruins." In other words, there it is, lazy, lazy. Not doing the maintenance, not doing the upkeep, not taking care of the routines and responsibilities. Verse 32, "I applied my heart to what I observed and I learned a lesson from what I saw. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a thief and scarcity like an armed man." Isn't that interesting? We often talk about an overnight success when actually there's been years of training in the background. Well, here it seems to talk about an overnight poverty. Suddenly, like a thief, poverty overtook. But no, poverty didn't overtake you in a night like a thief. Actually, it was years of building up of actual laziness, not tending to responsibilities, which led to that demise. In 2 Thessalonians 3 verse 10, Paul, this man full of God's grace and love, was very strong when he spoke to the church. And in 2 Thessalonians 3:10, for even when we were with you, we gave you this rule, the one who's unwilling to work shall not eat. There it is. Paul was very strong in this. He saw laziness as a sin, sluggardness as a sin. If you're not prepared to work, then you don't eat. You don't get the food parcels. You don't get the handouts if you're not actually willing to work. And then in Proverbs 26, verse 13, one of my favorite proverbs, a sluggard said, there's a lion in the road, a fierce lion roaming the streets. I mean, it sounds bizarre when you read it, but there's actually profound wisdom. Notice the sluggard. The lazy man said, there's a lion in the road. And do you see his legitimate excuse? It's not his fault. How could you expect him to go out and work? How could you expect him to go and do anything? Apparently, there's a lion in the streets. And so once again, laziness is hard to discern in ourselves because we try and lie to ourselves, deceive ourselves, blaming this opportunity, blame the economy, blame your boss, blame the weather, blame this and that, when actually the real reason is in our own hearts. So never met anyone who can't find a job and blame himself for laziness. It's always the economy or the company. I would encourage you, if you are looking for a job right now, and maybe you think, hey, Pastor, you're being a little bit hard today. I would encourage you, here's the challenge. Take the very next job that you get offered. Because I've had people in our church, they get offered a job and then turn them down because it's not enough money. It's beneath my education. It's lower than what I'm used to. And so they turn it down. No, now you're hiding laziness. It's easier to get a job when you've already got a job than sitting at home as a sluggard. So let's just wrap it up. Many say they're inactive because they're waiting on God. I've heard that excuse so many times. What are you doing? I'm waiting on God. I want to remind you, waiting on God can be another form of sluggardness, laziness. Waiting on God is never passive. In Scripture, waiting on God is always active. We're waiting on God with questions like, Lord, what do you want me to do? Lord, who do you want me to speak to? Lord, where do you want me to go? And then waiting on God means waiting for some nudge of direction, but not passively front-footed. Lord, I'm going to go knock on doors. Which door should I knock on? Does that make sense? Because if you find yourself, even the spiritualizing, God hasn't done anything. In other words, God, you to blame. I've been sitting on the couch in my pajamas waiting for someone to offer me a job, and it must be God's fault. No. Chances are it might be laziness. Waiting on God is active. We're doing and asking the Holy Spirit to direct us. So the big idea, the servant diagnosed the problem as fear. The master diagnosed the problem as laziness. Laziness hides behind legitimate excuses. Be careful that you're not hiding laziness behind one of your own. I hope maybe it challenges you. Hopefully it doesn't. Hopefully the right people hear this and not the workaholics who need to slow down a little bit. But I want to leave you with just two questions today. Number one, what kind of excuses do you think that laziness often hides behind? Have you heard any excuses which actually, when you think about them now, might just be a cover for laziness? And then number two, are there any areas of laziness that you might be hiding behind legitimate excuses? Just a moment of honest reflection. Could you be blaming something legitimate for actually something that needs to awaken, get up, and get active? Anyway, I hope that helps. We've got two more episodes of this series over the next couple of weeks, so I hope you'll join me for that. So until then, God bless, and bye for now.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode. Remember, if you'd like the notes that come along with this episode or any one of our past episodes, you can visit outlookchurch.co.za/mustardseedleadership, where you can see all our past episodes, all the resources and notes that go along with this. Until next time, keep growing.